What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome to the LA Local. I'm your host, Nick Vinay. It's Tuesday, August 5th, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. This episode, we're going to talk about legal weed shops being priced out by the bootleggers.
We've got way too much competition at a much lower price. No way to compete.
UCLA is standing up to Trump.
They pretty clearly violate the First Amendment.
Go Bruins. A cool new LA law, an investigation into the 60 years of abuses at Juvenile Hall, and a massive robbery of one of South LA's most beloved taco trucks.
Some of them yelled, "This is for Cruz Azul," and they started attacking the food vendors as well as the employees.
The city is putting a massive price hike on LA's legal dispensaries. Our reporter Craig Figner got into it. Craig, break it down for us. Why is legal pot so expensive?
If you do it legally, buy cannabis from a dispensary in the city of Los Angeles, you'll pay about 48% tax on top of, you know, what you take home, the product. It's described as one of the most heavily taxed items that you can buy in all of California, talking about legal cannabis. And now the fees for the legal cannabis dispensaries in Los Angeles, they're about to go up. The annual business license fee used to be about $4,800 a year. That's going to be in the range of $17,000 annually.
$17,000. Craig talked with Jared Kilo, who reps a California trade group representing the legal cannabis shops. More from Craig.
He says the big problem is that illegal cannabis dispensaries don't have to pay any of these fees and that the authorities don't go after them to close them down. They undercut them on price and they're driving them out of business.
There's a nonprofit that has looked at almost all the smoke shops, CBD stores, and head shops in LA County. There's 3,792 of them, but almost 80% of them are selling an illegal cannabis product. So when you're looking at the number of competitors we have, not just at the cost gap that's there. The consumers have a lot of cost parity when it comes to the product. And when you get something 50% cheaper, how does a legal business compete with that?
Well, it's his prediction that this decision to increase fees on legal cannabis dispensaries, that they'll eventually drive the legal dispensaries out of LA.
Sounds like bad news for legal pot and legal pot users, if you're one of those. UCLA says it's going to talk with the Trump administration to try to get back its $340 million in research grants. Trump says the money is being withheld because UCLA hasn't done enough to stop anti-Semitism. Critics, aka everybody else, says it's a ruse to silence protest and free speech. Ariella Gross is a law professor at UCLA. She tells us what's going on.
The Trump administration has so far lost each one of these cases. Now, some of these are preliminary stages, of course, and there may be appeals, but they pretty clearly violate what they're doing violates the First Amendment. Violates various federal statutes as well. There hasn't been any really serious legal argument raised that they have the right to do this.
Gross cautions. The school should not negotiate a settlement as Columbia and Brown universities did.
Not so much, you know, in terms of the ransom money that was paid, although that's concerning, but more about the concessions that have severely harmed, I think, the core mission of those universities.
Gross says simply, if UCLA agrees to a settlement, it could encourage more demands. That could undermine academic freedom and the university's main mission. LA approved a new law today. It's going to keep you cool. Karen Adams has more.
Janet Torres knows all too well about what it's like to not have AC in her apartment.
And when heat waves hit, our home becomes unbearably hot. The air is heavy, the walls hold on to the heat, and we have no relief because our landlord won't allow us to install an air conditioner.
But soon, Torres and thousands of others will soon get relief. Supervisor Hilda Solis on the new law.
For many of those individuals who live in unincorporated areas, like East Los Angeles, Florence, Firestone area, including Walnut Park, this is a lifeline for those families. It would require rental units to be kept at or below 82 degrees Fahrenheit. Because, as we know, research has demonstrated that anything higher than that is dangerous or even deadly.
Also, landlords now have to allow tenants to install AC or anything else to help keep their apartments cool. That kicks in 30 days from now. Enforcement of the maximum heat requirement begins January of 2027.
That law is cool. Get it? It's a cool law. See what I...
Somebody come get their dad.
Okay. 6,800 survivors of abuse inside LA County juvenile facilities just got a $4 billion settlement from the county. The abuses stretch back more than 60 years. California's attorney general asked the court to take control of the juvenile facilities, citing unsafe conditions and chronic mismanagement. Meanwhile, calls for a federal criminal investigation are mounting, with victims' attorneys describing the abuse as systemic and ongoing. Criminal charges have already been filed against 30 detention officers for forcing young people into the so-called gladiator fights. But advocates say the fight for justice and real reform is far from over. Our reporter Karen Adams has more.
The county has settled with the victims, paying out $4 billion, and the state is heading to court to take over the county's juvenile facilities. Attorney John Manley, who represents more than 200 survivors of the assaults, says he wants the feds to investigate why and how the abuse was allowed to take place for years.
The abuse was wide-ranging. The perpetrators, for the most part, have been identified, and there have been no criminal charges brought, sometimes because of the statute of limitations. The federal government has a very important role here because in 2012, the Justice Department appointed a federal monitor of the system, which utterly failed. There were continuing reports that things were improving and that things were better with a consent decree with the federal government, and they weren't. And as a result, thousands of children were harmed. Billions of dollars of public money is being paid to this settlement. The county and the people of Los Angeles, and indeed the children who were abused, deserve to know who was responsible.
Manley says they sent a letter to U.S. Attorney Bill Assaley asking for an immediate investigation to find out if federal crimes were committed and if the county's guilty of a cover-up.
A beloved South L.A. taco truck was hit by a violent robbery earlier Sunday. Tacos Los Poblanos on Avalon Boulevard. Tragically, one worker was sent to the hospital. Our Pete Demetrio has more.
The truck from the company Tacos Los Poblanos was parked at 58th and Avalon on Sunday night when a group wearing Cruz Azul t-shirts representing a Mexican professional soccer team ran up yelling and began using pipes and bats as weapons. I spoke with Newton Division Detective Lieutenant Jason Atkins.
15 to 30 people beating on people with bats and sticks and pipes for 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes.
Anybody resist? Was there any weapons other than those pulled? Anyone make an attempt to defend themselves?
No, see, most of the victims either tried to cover up or get away.
Was it just an assault, or was this actually a robbery? And if so, who was robbed?
A couple of victims had their property taken.
At least one person was seriously injured. The taco truck itself suffered tens of thousands of dollars in damage in the attack. The event was live streamed, and detectives are now reviewing images to try to find out who was involved or how they left the area following the incident.
The assault forced Tacos Los Poblanos to close until further notice. Advocates say incidents like these highlight wider safety concerns and point out that crime in South LA remains deeply underreported. And I agree with them. It's not just underreported in the news. Crime in South LA is often missing from official statistics altogether. Community leaders are urging more awareness and protection for these small businesses at the heart of Los Angeles's food scene. It's only right to mention it's been an especially tough time for LA taco trucks, who face not just rising business costs, but a growing wave of crime targeting street vendors and the last 52 days of ICE raids. Great Taqueros, all of us here at KNX support you. Please call the LAPD if you have any information that might help these guys out. That's your LA Local for Tuesday, August 5th. I'm your host, Nick Vinay. This show is sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Tune in tomorrow. We got another episode hosted by the Prince of Radio News, Nate the Great Ward. That's it. Good night, Los Angeles.
What's on on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.